Welcome to Tarati Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. I'm Ruchama Welcha, and today we're going to be studying Mishlei Perek Chaf Beis, Chapter 22. And we're going to begin with the first two psukim, Nivchar Shem Me'oysher Rav, a good name is preferable to wealth, Mikasef Omizav Chayim Tov, and good grace is preferable to silver and gold. Pasuk Beis reads, Asher Barash Nivgashu, Oysech Ulam Hashem, the rich and the poor meet, Hashem is the creator of them all. So to translate Pasuk Beis in context of Pasuk Aleph according to the Mitzvah, being wealthy is not a virtue, it's not an achievement, it's something that's gifted to a person, in the same way that poverty is also given to someone. Asher v'rosh nifgashu, it just met them, it found them. And oisech ulam Hashem, Hashem made all of them. Hashem made some people wealthy, and he made some people poor, and that's why it shouldn't be a point of pride or a point of shame. But on the other hand, to go back to Pasuk Aleph, a good name is something that a person creates for himself. Anyone can make a good name for themselves through their good choices. And that's why a good name is preferable to wealth, because it's actually something that we earn ourselves. The Me'a Shiloach, the Ishbitzer, says that this rich person described in the Pasuk, he's someone who has any advantage because he was born into it, which means maybe he was born into an illustrious family, or he was born with certain talents, or with certain dispositions, or he has naturally good character traits. And then on the other hand, a good name is anything that a person works on themselves. It's something that you acquire through your effort and through your choices. And that good name, that name is worth so much more than the wealth. That thing that you work on yourself, it matters so much more than the gifts that you were born with. And he brings a medrash that quotes this pasuk from Mishlei in the context of the story of Pinchas and Zimri. Pinchas killed Zimri for his immoral acts with Cosby, and it was the right thing to do. But there were many people who were putting Pinchas down. They said, your maternal grandfather, Yisrael, he was an idol worshipper. Who are you? What makes you think you have the right to do this? And Zimri, on the other hand, he came from very illustrious lineage, and he was the Nasi of the tribe of Shimon. Yet Zimri, he didn't make good choices. He didn't earn himself a good name. And Pinchas did. So says the Medrash over there, that Nivchar Shem Me'oysher Rav, a good name is better than wealth, and the good name of Pinchas was chosen over the wealth and over the lineage of Zimri. Pinchas's positive choices that he made ultimately won over all of Zimri's wealth. They won over his family dynasty, they won over his respected position in society as a Nasi. What matters in the end is who you are. It's the choices that you make. Your choices define your legacy so much more than your background. Now next we're going to learn Psukim Kaf Beis and Kaf Gimel with the theme of not taking advantage of the poor and the weak. So Pasuk Kaf Beis, Al Tigzol Dal Ki Dalhu, do not rob the poor because he is poor, meaning he's already struggling, don't make it worse. Va'al Tzedakei Oni Vashar, and do not oppress the poor at the gate. So according to the Malbim, this poor person at the gate, it means that the poor person is in court. And we're warned not to oppress the poor person at the gate, meaning, sometimes in court, a wealthy person or an influential person, he might win the case not because he's right, but because the poor person doesn't have a voice and he doesn't have status and he doesn't have allies in the system. It could be that the rich person can win the case just because of his advantage, not because he's actually right. So overall, this pasuk is telling us, don't rob the poor, don't oppress him in court. It's a warning not to manipulate justice, not to use positions of advantage, and not to use power to harm vulnerable people. And then the next pasuk continues, Ki Hashem yariv rivam v'kova es koveihem nafesh, for Hashem will fight their battle, and he will rob the lives of those who rob them. Meaning, the punishment for taking advantage of the poor is that Hashem will take his life. So the Ralbag and the Mitzvah explain that unfortunately it's a terrible reality that people are quick to exploit those who are already disadvantaged. Maybe they think that when they exploit poor people, they exploit vulnerable people, that they can get away with it. Maybe because they think they're too weak to fight back, or because they don't have support systems. Maybe they think that nobody's going to hold them accountable. But this pasuk that we just read, pasuk Chaf Gimel, it teaches Ki Hashem Yariv Rivam. Even if they don't have a human defender, Hashem is their advocate. Hashem is their defender. Hashem himself stands with poor people and afflicted people, and he is their advocate when nobody else is. The Ralbag adds that when someone robs a poor person, he's robbing his very life force. There's something particularly tragic about robbing somebody who has nothing. They're taking his life, and therefore the consequence is midah keneged midah, it's measure for measure. B'kava es koveihem nafesh. Hashem robs the life of he who robs the poor. Now, obviously, we're not allowed to steal from anyone. It's forbidden in the Torah, and stealing is bad in general. It's not like it's just forbidden to rob poor people. So the Malbim explains why we're specifically cautioned against robbing or exploiting poor people. And it's not just because it's about the actual theft. That's also a problem. Stealing's also a problem. But it's not just about the theft. There's an additional layer here, and that's the problem of exploiting vulnerability. That's a particularly ugly thing. It's theft, and it's also cruelty at the same time. We have a mitzvah in Parashas Kedoshim with a similar theme, where we're told, Lo sekal al cheresh, b'lifnei iver lo sitein michshol, v'yoreisa melokecha ani Hashem. Don't curse a deaf person, don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person, and you should fear your God, I am Hashem. So it's a similar idea to Al Tigzal Dal in this Pasuk in Mishlei. We're not allowed to curse anybody, and we're not allowed to put a stumbling block in front of anybody. This is not just a law for blind people or for deaf people. But the Pasuk here, it's not just about the actual action. It's not just about the cursing of the deaf or the stumbling block in front of the blind. It's about the particularly ugly reality of taking advantage of someone's weakness. It's a whole nother layer of bad. And this is a rule that extends to any situation where there's an imbalance of power. If someone's selling something and they know that there's a problem with the item or the property or the car, and the buyer doesn't know about the problem, then they're taking advantage of the buyer's weakness. It refers to any time there's an imbalance of power, whether it's taking advantage of someone's financial ignorance or of someone's loneliness and emotional vulnerability, or taking advantage of someone's lack of confidence or someone's naivete. We have to be so careful that we don't use that to our own advantage, even if it's only in a very subtle way. The Mefarshim on that Pasuk in Kedoshim, they tell us that the Pasuk ends with the words, V'yoreisa melekecha, you should fear Hashem. Because when you take advantage of someone weak, whether it's a physical or a financial or an emotional weakness, you can think you can get away with it. Maybe they're not going to know. Maybe they're helpless and they have nobody to come to their defense. But Hashem knows everything. And Hashem yoriv rivom, as we said in Mishlei, Hashem will fight their battle for them. Now let's link this idea back to Pasuk Beis that we studied at the beginning of the Perek. Asher v'rosh nifgashu, oisech olam Hashem. The rich and the poor meet. Hashem is the creator of them all. The Ralbag says that Hashem created some people rich and some people poor so that they could meet together, so that asher v'rosh nifgashu. And when they meet, the rich could help the poor. When you meet people who have less advantage than you do, be it that they're financially less well off than you, or they have less social capital, or they have less intelligence, or they have fewer family connections, you should know, says the Ralbag, that you were given these advantages precisely so that you would be able to help them, so that you'd be able to reach out to them. Chas v'shalom, that anyone should ever take advantage of someone who has less than them and abuse that power. Chas v'shalom, God forbid, that there should ever be a situation of someone robbing the poor. Rather, we want to be people who use our connections and who use our advantage and who use our security to uplift other people, to uplift them with our honesty and with our compassion and with our care. So in this parak, we're shown both possibilities. We're cautioned against robbing the poor. We're cautioned against taking advantage of people's vulnerability on the one hand. And then on the other hand, we're shown how any advantage that we have was given to us by Hashem so that we could meet the people with this advantage and we can support them. And then finally, we're going to look at Pasuk Chaf Tes, which is on a completely different theme. Chazisa ish moher b'melachtai. Have you ever seen a man diligent in his business? Lifnei melachim yisyatzov. He shall stand before kings. Bal yisyatzev lifnei chashukim. He will not stand before obscure men. Have you seen a man who's quick, who's determined, who's efficient in his work? He will stand before kings. He's not going to work for nobodies. Now listen to the amazing way that the Malbim reads this pasuk. When someone becomes successful to the point that they're promoted to work for the king, or they get an important contract, or an important position, they're not going back to do their schleppish jobs anymore. Now that they work for a king, they're not lowering themselves to work for ordinary nobodies anymore. Once they start doing high-end, sophisticated work, they're not going back to doing manual, heavy-duty labor. And this is obviously another mashal. Says the Malbim, you work for a king. You work for the King of all kings. You have been given a job, and that's to learn his Torah and to fulfill his mitzvahs. It's the most elevated work that there is. It's lucrative, it's lofty, it's exclusive. What, are you going to go back to schlepping boxes again? Are you going to take time out from the king's work to do some manual labor? Are you going to emphasize your career in this world over your job in the office, of the Melech Malchei Hamlochim? It's a very, very powerful way of framing our values. Thank you for learning together in the merit for Refuah Shleimah for Yonina Zimmer Bas Daphne Hinder and the wounded members of Tzahal amongst all the Ilov Klal Yisrael, sponsored by Nina and Chaim Schenker.